You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome to Wednesday. I think it's Wednesday, Jay.
It is Wednesday.
You must be in Funville because you're a day away from seeing some true baseball.
Some actual baseball, yeah. And actually, the Dodgers are playing on the first day. So
are you going to call in sick tomorrow?
But then I'll be here.
What time do they play?
I looked it up a minute ago, and I've already forgotten what time. It's a 7 o'clock start.
Oh, so you have plenty of time.
Yeah, so you know it'll be on. You know, I'll put it on the radio as I'm leaving. But I'm excited, anxious to see. It's a weird thing. Here's one of the things I'm anxious to see. I'm anxious to see how the whole process of keeping guys healthy and what happens when guys get COVID and how all that's going to work. It's a weird thing that to think about, but I'm wondering, okay, now we're going to start playing games and guys are going to be around each other and they're
traveling.
You know, a guy's going to be sliding into second and breathing on the shortstop.
Well, you already see it. You've seen a couple of games maybe.
Right.
Well, how does the first baseman try to protect the, well, there's a guy on first.
Right.
You're the first baseman. How do you hold the guy on?
They're playing like it looks like regular baseball to me, but what's going to be interesting to see is are guys going to start getting it and what happens when they do and all those processes that are going to be in place.
I saw an interview this morning. There's no spitting, or at least there's apparently no spitting, but
right.
I saw some people spitting.
I don't know what they're going to do to catch
that?
Them. I know that if I ever got caught spitting, my dad would smack me in the back of the head. I don't know if the managers can do that, but it's I'm interested to see if these things start to play out. So we can see how this is going to work.
No question.
And whether or not they can sustain this stuff so that we can actually have games going forward.
I think that's a good question for Dave Hickey too. Once they start to play, how do you keep them?
What's the process?
Yeah. Well, what's the process?
How do you keep them? Yeah. Yeah.
And let me say, I'm looking forward to it. I know you are too. Dave Hickey coming on the show.
Right.
His second time. He's up against it like every other AD.
Sure. And I know that there's a lot of speculation about a lot of stuff,
mm-hmm.
and how things are going to happen. And, they're limited in what they can say about stuff like that. But there's a lot that's happened since the last time we had Dave on the show. Most prominently, the decision by the Pac-12 to not play any non-conference football game. So I think we want to find out, how did that come about? What was the thinking?
Yeah.
And where are we going? Where are we headed?
Yes. There's a lot of things going on. Former U of A star, Damon Sotomayor, got an extension at his place. He had a heck of a year.
Yep.
And is doing very well as the head coach at Pacific.
Good for him.
One of my favorite guys. You might argue with me, but I know there's been tons of great players that come through the program. To me, he's number two of what he's done, what he did. I would just, I could take an argument. I'm fine, but he's number two.
Yeah, he's way up there. I think I've got a longer history with the Wildcats than you do, and I put some guys up there with him. But that team, the period that he was in there.
It's not a good one.
Well, he was on the team that lost to Santa Clara,
right?
But then they went to the Final Four the next year. So you got to give him a lot of props for what he was able to do, both at Arizona and then as a professional and now as a coach. So good for him. Good for him. I'm glad to, he's got it going. What his future is going to be in coaching remains to be seen, but he's got a. He signed a contract extension at Pacific through the 2025-2026 season. That's a nice amount of, stability for him.
Mm-hmm.
And you're always rooting for guys
especially,
like that.
Especially at a place where you go to get fired. What I'm saying? Not go to get fired, but you get fired if you don't do well at a bad school.
Well, those jobs are tough because, you're right. It's hard to win.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you don't win, you can get fired. But on the other hand, you do well.
You
put up a couple of good seasons. You get in the NCAA tournament, maybe win an unexpected game or something like that. And now people are looking at you. And that's pretty much how every coach, makes his way up. Sean Miller did that at Xavier. Wound up at Arizona. Arizona, and other coaches have done that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and so that's, you know what, that's the nature of the business, but good for him.
A lot of things going on. NBA's coming around the corner too. There's all eyes on baseball tomorrow,
right,
to see how that happens. Basketball soon after,
right,
and then college football hopefully and then in NFL.
Well, yeah, and you know, still as always, as there is every time we walk into the studio, there's been a bunch of stuff that's going on that's affecting what, you know, what's going to go on with college football. Today, Clemson announced that at least for the first 4 weeks of classes, they're going to have no on-campus classes. Mm-hmm. But because they're not saying none at all for the semester, the door is still open to, you know, to have football there. Cal did a similar thing yesterday. So, you know, there's these little bits of news that are starting to come out, and you just wonder how that's going to affect things going forward.
So no on-campus classes, but you know they have to have kids there,
right,
in order to have football.
Well, and Cal put out a statement about that today that said, you know, because the whole thing was, didn't you tell us if students weren't on campus that you couldn't right. have sports? But Cal is saying, well, the campus is open, students are in student housing, stuff like that. We're just not going to have them in classes initially, and we might have them in classes in a month or 2 months or whatever.
Well,
so sort of a little bit of a loophole.
Yes. I was just going to say, don't you think that is a big loophole?
Well, it is, but you know, I also get a sense of that, especially you know, a school like Cal, where yeah, football is a big deal, but it's not Nebraska right. or Ohio State or sure. Texas or Ohio, one of those. If they don't think they should be playing football, they're not going to play football.
Sure.
And I think it's one of those schools that puts, you know, academics a little higher than maybe some of the others.
And we've talked about this. I think we've talked about this. There's no right or wrong answer. Everybody has their own rules, limitations, expectations, and things like that.
And they have their own processes, which is what we're going to hear from Dave Hickey about. Right. You know, the stuff that they're doing at Arizona isn't what they're doing at Clemson or anywhere else.
Right.
Right?
Right.
You know, we've got a doctor running the university. We've got a former surgeon general running the reentry task force. Mm-hmm. You know, the Arizona's in a different position than the others. And, you know, Arizona released some test results last week, and they're looking really
very good.
So
right.
stuff is happening, but, you know, the students still aren't on campus. And so, you know, we there was an interview with Jamal Baker today, and he doesn't know when he's going to be
right.
allowed to come on campus and start working out. So there's still a lot has to happen before we know how it's going to unfold.
I know you were on the call with Jamal, and I was on the call with Jamal. A lot of people were. Good kid, very smart kid, a kid you want on your team.
Yeah, soft-spoken, and I liked him from the minute I saw him. From the first time I saw him was at the Red and Blue game last year, and I really, really liked him because I felt like he had sort of a—I don't want to say an attitude, but he looked,
chip on his shoulder.
He looked like he wanted, he wanted to play defense. He wanted to lock people down. Mm-hmm. He looked like a good player. He shot the ball well. I, throughout the season, wondered why he wasn't playing more, and found out the reason he wasn't playing more is because he was injured all season.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like he's somebody that I really, really like, and I'm really waiting to see how he's gonna look when he's got more playing time and more ability to show what he can do.
Looks like he might be one of the team leaders.
Well, he got recruited to Kentucky for a reason.
Yeah, there's no question about that. You know what? Sometimes I know we got to get out of here for the break real quick, but and we'll talk about that later here. Dave Hickey on the other side once we come back here on 10:30 The Voice.
Camille Rivas Rutherford with Coldwell Banker Realty has been one of the top producing real estate agents in Tucson, Oro Valley, Marana, and Vail for more than 20 years. Let her help you find your dream home in southern Arizona. Her passion and enthusiasm for real estate has helped her become one of the most respected and trusted realtors in the area. And she was recently named a recipient of Coldwell Banker's 2019 International President Circle Award. Camille's approach to sales and marketing and selling or buying a home is second to none. Give her a call at 520-250-5192.
It's those guys from Tucson Appliance Company, the best appliance company in Tucson.
For the month of July, we're going to donate 2% of our sales to a local charity from in-stock purchases.
Come shop at our store and work with our amazing sales team.
Dustin, David, Brian, Alex, May, and Peter.
You can choose from a list of local charities for us to donate to.
The only way we can give back is if you shop local.
Only at Tucson Appliance, where our low price is your priority.
Go local. Make the switch. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer customized solutions and get you what you need faster. Like our quick and easy credit cards and auto loans. All done online from start to finish. Save time using mobile banking, bill pay, mobile deposit, and mobile pay with just a few clicks. Live large, accessing 30,000 plus surcharge-free ATMs and free debit card choices. Make the switch to Hughes today. Visit HughesFCU.org/switch. Certain restrictions apply, insured by NCUA.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez, and we're trying to get Mr. Hickey on the phone right now. You know, we were looking forward to talking to him, and he was ready to come on, too, so we'll track him down.
You know, busy guy, so, you know, he might be in the middle of something. Maybe he's deciding where I'm going to sit at the football games.
That's
next,
a question
next,
you might want to ask.
He
might be selling hot dogs.
Hey, today was National Hot Dog Day.
Was it?
And I actually celebrated. Went out and got a couple of dogs and made some chili dogs. So we're all good. Well, I think we got him now.
Yeah, we're all good. Now on the line we have Dave Hickey, the AD at U of A. Dave, how are you?
I'm good, gentlemen. I'm getting hungry hearing about hot dogs.
Well, I couldn't pass up the opportunity, Dave. When they tell me it's National Hot Dog Day, I'm a go. I'm ready.
That's impressive.
Yeah, and you know, you just got a commitment from him, too. If he can't get a ticket to the game, he'll sell hot dogs just to be in the game.
Exactly.
Okay, we may all have to do our part. That's where
you know, whatever it takes, Dave, I got to get into the stadium.
Sounds good.
How the heck are you? I know you're swamped with stuff. Thanks for coming on the show. You're running out of time, but the new schedule's out due, what, maybe a week from, a little more than a week from now?
Yeah, I think, you know, everybody knows that we've pivoted a little bit and gone to a conference-only schedule for football and similar for volleyball and for women's volleyball and women's soccer. Cross-country might be impacted just a little bit in the fall, too. We haven't completely navigated that whole side of it. But we're moving to those and we're targeting, the end of the month here. So we're looking like next Thursday or Friday of trying to have a finalized agreement that our presidents, obviously there's a lot of people involved in this, a lot of moving parts, but the presidents of the university can agree upon as things continue. And, it's one thing to put the schedule together. Then you start working back, and we can talk more about this, but working back on when practice starts, when fall camp starts, mm-hmm. when people can get into different segments of their training that has been so disrupted going through the summer.
Well, Dave, walk us through the decision-making process there, because there had to be, so much going into that. There was some, when the Big Ten made their decision, there was, a lot of people saying, why are you deciding now? And, the Pac-12 came up right after that. So, what was going through the athletic directors and presidents' minds in terms of making that call and making the call when you did?
Well, obviously we've been discussing this, planning, lots of contingency planning, what-if scenarios. We've talked before when I was with you previously about that was one of the options, to go to a conference-only schedule. The Autonomy 5 group, the Power 5, as sometimes it's referred to, group, the conferences have, been in constant contact with each other, the commissioners having regular meetings. So a lot of these things had been talked about. I think the Big Ten moved quickly. They decided to move. Their presidents wanted to move, and so they went ahead and did that. That certainly sent a signal up. And then, shortly after that, we, again, in consultation with our presidents, with our football coaches, all of our athletic directors went through a series of meetings and different scenarios, and then came up with the decision to go to a conference only. Very hard decision. We want to play our non-conference opponents, but it became, one of the key factors is how we can assure that there's a consistent testing. And at that time, we did not have that. We didn't have any guidance really from the NCAA. Each conference was somewhat on their own. Almost each school was on their own. So the best way the decision was made, the best way to create the absolute safest environment is to control it by A conference-only schedule. And that's really how we got to the decision.
You're getting probably information from all different sources. Just today or yesterday, the New Mexico governor said she doesn't want her colleges to be playing football at all. So you're just getting kind of, not mixed messages, but you're hearing different things from different people. What do you think about all the options?
Yeah, that's one of the things, Steve. You know, you hear that each... We talked about this a little bit before, I think. The different, you know, geography, the right. different regionalization of things, the different interpretations, hotspots versus non-hotspots, you know, all that is rolled in. It's not consistent across the country. And some of this, you know, quite frankly, gets politicized.
Mm-hmm.
So that's in there and makes it hard. You know, I was on a call with one of the athletic directors from the state of New Mexico, and you know, very challenging for them when the governor comes out and says something like that, and you know, that it's very difficult. But those are the things that we're reacting to. And then today, you know, all those schools that are potentially playing New Mexico and New Mexico State that may even face a much greater a challenge because they're an independent.
Right.
They don't even have a conference, you know, and they've been trying to put scheduling together based on some things that they've lost. So, yeah, these are the factors that just keep coming at us. We've said it lots of times before. There's no manual for this. There's no, okay, if that happens, we'll just go to plan B. We got to create a new plan and staying steady, just keep forging ahead, and hopefully we'll get to the end here at some point.
So now that you've made the decision to kind of, you know, contain everything within the Pac-12, all the schools are going to be playing each other, and you've got a little bit more control of the testing and all the protocols that are going to take place. You know, how much interaction and collaboration is going on between, you know, the 12 schools all the way to the top, where you've got a reentry task force here at the U of A headed by Dr. Robbins and Dr. Carmona, and you know, what's going on with some of the other schools? How much information is being exchanged, and how do you keep your arms wrapped around all of that?
An incredible amount of information being exchanged, very collaborative in the Pac-12. We are on calls at a minimum 3 days a week with the athletic directors, the conference office staff. I know that our presidents are on regular calls with the conference office and with Commissioner Scott. So lots of communication going on with all the different, kind of scenarios. And it is just such a fluid situation, so we know we're communicating all the time about it. We feel really good about the testing and the protocols. You know, the other thing that we felt was important in the West, and certainly in some areas like Arizona, like California, maybe a little bit Washington, you know, some of our other areas have been lower in the number of cases and are in a better situation, but we needed more time. You know, there was no way that we were going to be able to begin football, and our conference had three different schools starting on week zero, you know, that
right.
last
mm-hmm.
Saturday
right.
in August. So it really was about pushing it, being able to control and push the schedule back, because we were not going to be able to play on those early weekends. It's very unlikely that we'll be prepared. We haven't brought all of our kids back to campus. They won't be prepared. And believe me, there are some who are in a much more dire straits than we are here in Arizona.
Let me ask you, I have to commend you. Your numbers are fantastic. Only three tests negative or positive, whichever way you want to look at it. But how has that been done, and what's your secret?
Well, no secret. I think we put, again, kudos to our staff, our team, from the university level, as we talked about and just mentioned, you know, great leadership from Dr. Robbins, Dr. Carmona, the planning and the effort. The different protocols that we put into place, the review. One of the things that we benefit from as well is a tremendous health committee, doctors, scientists across the Pac-12. We are really the leading health committee in the country that is really kind of spearheading this thing from the very top. So an abundance of information coming across to all of us from that group in making this, you know, doable. And again, having the information that we need to make good decisions going forward. It, you know, it's just, it, I said it a couple times, it's a moving target, and it seems like day to day it moves. But I feel like we have the right people in those positions. And that's where it started. And so then we've been able to put a process in place that lots of education up front, certainly lots of testing. But you know what? Our student athletes have bought into it. They understand that they have a responsibility, not only to themselves, but to their teammates, to this community. That there's a, you know, it can happen. You can catch this virus. And the worst part about that is that you can give it to someone else. And in many cases, younger people unknowingly giving it to someone else. They don't have any symptoms of it. And so, but our people have been really, really solid, rock solid with that. Again, we test every week. Every week we test and retest. So we are continually, our pool of now 85 kids, we're continually retesting. And we're hope we're getting closer now to an opportunity to potentially slowly begin to phase in some more student athletes.
Oh, well, that's where I was going to go next is, you know, how far away are you from, you know, resuming, you know, bringing, you know, athletes on campus so they can start getting, you know, workouts in and working with the coaches and the staff and all that kind of stuff?
We have 1 minute for that one.
Okay, hey, really important was, I don't know if we have a date yet, but again, the scientific data is telling us that we're in a better position. We think we've got great protocols, and so we think we can start to, you know, again, plan for that. Remember, those people need to quarantine and be ready to come back and then be tested and then be isolated. So there's a few weeks that you've got to put that in place so that they can be in the right position. Those have been steps that have been really important. We don't just bring them to campus and then start.
Right.
We want to bring them to campus assured that, hey, they're in the right spot. They don't have any symptoms. And then we can test them immediately. So we can talk more about that, too, if we want.
Yeah, we will. Let's talk. We got about 10 seconds or whatever left. We'll go to break, come back and talk more about the challenges you have, because you have a ton of them. Thanks a bunch, Dave.
There's a place in our house.
For 70 years, Benjamin Supply has been keeping Tucson flowing. Hygiene is our business. We help you achieve extreme clean. Minimize germ spreading with a hands-free sensor faucet. Forget the paper panic with a washlet seat. And speaking of waterworks, a big thanks to plumbers for their essential efforts during this health crisis. Shop our downtown showroom by appointment. Call us at 777-7000 or see all the products online at BenjaminSupply.com.
Thanks to Benjamin Plumbing Supply.
Being named the 2020 El Tour de Tucson dedication recipient was such an honor. I have been a part of El Tour in the past, and I know about some of these amazing names that have been dedication recipients in the past, but it was an honor to be chosen for that, not only for me, but for my organization that supports people with disabilities.
I've met so many people through the riding and through El Tour that are now some of my closest and dearest friends.
One of the things that makes El Tour, you know, so safe and so well ran is all the law enforcement that gets involved blocking up the roads. My favorite part of the course on the newer course was the backside of Pistol Hill.
I think what's amazing about El Tour is there's something for everyone's ability level. It includes the opportunity to be out there. You can even do a 1 miler. You can do something at home if you're limited to being indoors. That's what's great about it is all abilities are encouraged. It's very inclusive.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside co-host Jay Gonzalez. And on the phone, we have University of Arizona AD Dave Hickey.
So Dave, I want to understand a little bit more about the process and all the things that you're looking at as you're deciding, you know, how you're moving forward. Now, the way I understand it, you know, you've got the campus-wide reentry task force with Dr. Robbins mm-hmm. and Dr. Carmona and stuff. And then there's one that's specific to athletics. Is that correct?
That's correct. Okay. Certainly we have the overarching university one, and then we have our own team of about with 7 different work groups in it, specifically in athletics.
So how do those two, you know, work together, exchange information, or, you know, are they sending information to you? Or you? I mean, how is all that coming together for you guys?
Yeah, several members of our team and our core group of team, our leadership team, sit on the overall and they work in different, you know, work groups of the campus reentry plan. So we're connected in that level. So we have athletic department personnel who are connected on the overall campus reentry team led by Dr. Carmona and Dr. Robbins and by our provost, that really kind of pulls things together, provost folks. So that is kind of how the communication flows back and forth. Anytime that we're interested, you know, and then you have our medical professionals led by Dr. Carmona and Dr. Robbins, who are bringing information to the table from the county, from the state level, from all of, you know, from the city. All those medical professionals are generally weekly at you know, at the least weekly, and so I think it's biweekly medical information is, you know, how many cases, what's going on with hospitals. So that's all being pushed into the system so that, and then that information flows. Anytime we want to take a step, we then outline the steps, outline how we're going to do that, how it fits in with the overall plan, and then that must be approved by Dr. Robbins and by Dr. Carmona and the team that analyzes all of the reentry material.
So yesterday, I think it was yesterday, maybe it was Monday, we saw the announcement by Cal that initially all classes are going to be online, but you know, the campus is not, you know, technically closed, so that leaves the door open for them to still have sports. Because we had heard back, you know, earlier in the summer, if the students aren't campus, we're not having sports. But it seems like there's, I don't want to call it a loophole, but more of a, you know,
concession.
I don't know. It was sort of a step back. We're not going to be able to have classes right now. What's going to happen there?
Well, I think there was a general feeling that if, you know, and I think that was driven by external forces, potentially media. Obviously, you can get to it very logically. If you can't have students on campus or you're not going to open your campus, you know, how could you ever have athletics? And I think, again, that makes logical sense. But I think all of the campuses and you know, want to open to some degree. They have certain areas that are already open. Much like us, we have research and scientists that are on. We have some graduate students that are on campus. You know, our ROTC program is active, I believe, at this point. You know, there are just some little nuances of and athletics. And really, they have been test areas to see if this is, can we accomplish this? In this COVID environment, can we operate? You know, and I think we've all found across the country that in small groups, we can do that. It does get, campuses are starting to make that decision. Can we bring back 20, 30, 40, 50,000 students? How do we live in a COVID environment with that many students? I think Cal has made the decision that they need to, at least for a while, and I don't recall exactly the announcement. I think it was a month or for a period of time, they're going, maybe they said all fall, to be online. But still, they're going to be able to have student-athletes continue because they have several that are on campus now.
How much of an influence? Tomorrow, baseball starts, thankfully. NFL will start soon, too, and then NBA. Will that influence you guys at the college level, do you think?
Well, you know, I've been, I'm a baseball guy, so I've actually been watching a little bit of the preseason, whatever you want to call them, exhibition games now, with no fans in the stadium. I think it will help. I mean, again, we've seen the PGA move forward. We've seen some auto racing. We've seen soccer internationally work a little bit. So each one of those we begin to learn. It begins to open it up a little bit more. The NBA now is starting to roll. So those things help, but it's so much different because we're not a professional sports organization. We can't 100% control, you know, the players, put them in a bubble. That's not who we are. We can do the very best we can, but again, we can't relocate to Orlando, or we can't decide all of our student athletes are going to live in one area, and you know, that's just not who we are. So. So that's the challenge, is how to live in the environment. But I think we learn things. We learn about the non-fan environment. We learn about what they're doing with players. You know, baseball is interesting because they're going to go city to city. They're going to travel. So that is an excellent test case for us to see how it can work.
Go ahead.
No, you can go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask, you know, one of the things that's kind of come out the last couple of days, and, I, you know, It's the worry about what happens when the students get on campus. And in particular, what's been talked about the last couple of days is the fraternities. And, you know, we're seeing that, and I should say the Greeks, because you got fraternities, sororities, and whatnot. And just there's not been the amount of caution that you would hope, you know, with some of that. And John Wilner, who's, you know, a good friend of ours, and I think you know him, you know, just threw out a comment. He said they should just shut them all down if we're going to play football. So, I mean, you know, as you start realizing that students going to be on campus in a month, you know, what, you know, where, you know, what's, you know, what's on the agenda for you guys to make sure that, you know, things can work?
Well, I think those are all factors. Although the fraternity and sorority system has been singled out a little bit, you know, any of these, we've had some incident. Any of these larger groups where people come together, generally inside, you know, it's not a good situation. Similar to going into bars that are full with a lot of people, or, you know, those just are not good environments. I think we all know that. We also know that sometimes young people feel more invincible and don't always make the best decisions. And that's part of this process. You know,
we were those guys.
This thing's going to work. Yeah. But if this thing's going to work, if, you know, and that's why I respect what our football players, our football student athletes have done. And if we want to play, if they want to participate in the things that they love, there's a responsibility that they need to exhibit. There's accountability. There are things they have to do. They have to accept a different lifestyle if they want that side. If they're unwilling to do that, this is not going to work. If fraternities or sororities or people want to go out and do things and not think about the greater good, it's not going to work. We're going to close down schools. We're going to go back. You know, so I want to play. I want to try to get fans. I want it to work. So I'm pretty no nonsense about it. Either you do it or you don't.
Right.
If you don't want to, then you can't be here. It can't work both ways.
Right.
And so that's what it's about. It's about responsibility. And so I don't know. Do we get to a point where we need to restrict living arrangements, where people are, how, you know, now we're getting into a space where people are off of our campuses and how we restrict and how we do that. I know that from our leadership team, we're very cognizant of the pressure this could put on, you know, our greater community. And that's first, and that is right at top of mind awareness by our leadership. You know, that's why we paused the way we did. We're doing excellent in our bubble. We're doing excellent. But we've got to be aware of the overall community, too.
Yeah, no question. In fact, all the talk is about football. But you have the three sports you mentioned, or the four sports you mentioned earlier in the show. No one really talks about those, and they're all involved as well.
Hey, I'll take it a step further, guys. You know, we don't even think about fall softball, non-championship season for our men's and women's golf team, our men's and women's tennis team, who are competing, who are traveling, who are doing things, our baseball, you know, in the fall. Again, so many, I think of, well, yeah, baseball doesn't start till February. Well, no, baseball really starts right when they come back to school, and there's fall ball, there's things going on. So, and the golfs and the tennises, our beach volleyball, they actually are competing. They're going to tournaments and travel, and it counts towards their overall season and their rankings and all these things. So it impacts a ton. And then truly those that are in the fall, football for us, women's soccer, our cross-country programs, and women's volleyball, you know, how we manage that. So it impacts so many different people. Again, we're talking about football. That's great, but we've got to test all of those soccer players. We've got to test the volleyball players. We've got to have control over what they're doing. We want to make it safe for them. We want their parents to feel confident in allowing their child to come here and compete and be in a really safe environment. So gets complex. There's a lot of moving parts, but we're determined to find ways for it to work out.
Yeah, lots of moving parts. So I'm going to put on my fan hat now, Dave, and ask you, you know, what are the pieces that have to fall into place for you now to be able to start telling fans, you know, this is what's going to happen if you want to go to a volleyball match or, of course, a football game or whatever. You know, what's where do we have to get to, and what's kind of the time frame for that? I know, the, you know, the football schedule is supposed to come out on the 31st, and there's other pieces that have to fall in places. I mean, you kind of have an idea of what's going to happen, and then now, okay, we announce a schedule, now we're going to let you know, or yeah. How far away are we from that?
Well, as I said before, we're going to wait as long as we can because we think time helps. You learn more and you get closer. You allow things. It may not go in our direction, but at least you allow as much time as possible to make the best decision. And again, I don't want to mislead anyone. You know, that's our target on the 30th or 31st to really have a football schedule finalized. You know, will it be announced on that day? I don't want to get, you know, our listeners and others who may report on this, you know, a timeline that doesn't quite work out. That's our target, and that's what we want to do, and hopefully shortly thereafter we can do that. But, you know, then I think you kind of start backing it up. We're going to delay the season, so it's going to start later in September. Who knows? Maybe even later. And so we've got a little bit more time now. It's not like we're starting on August 29th. We've got a few more weeks here that we can move forward and see. I do think that under the current kind of climate and the, you know, reading the tea leaves, our crowd sizes, the capacity is reducing. You know, I think it's going to be hard to get to a 50%. I think we're creeping back to a much smaller number of people ever being and attending any of our events, whether that's football or soccer or volleyball. Lots of social distancing, lots of procedures and protocols when we think about food service and we think about parking and we think about tailgating. All of those things are going to be modified dramatically. It's going to be a much different experience, but we do hope we can have an experience where people can come and at least support the team and watch the team and be part of it.
Well, there's a lot of obviously bad news that you have to say, tell people, yada yada, a lot of doom and gloom. But when was the last time you received some good news, positive news to get you maybe through the day and you see progress possibly being made?
Well, you know what? I get up every day in a positive way. We are working hard to make this happen, and I'm focused on the getting our students back. And when I say that, I mean all of our students. It's important to all of our students to come back to campus. They want to come back. They enjoy it. They want to continue their studies. And so do our student athletes. And obviously our student athletes want to compete. That's what's so important in their lives while they're here at Arizona. So I keep that central and focused. So that, to me, is a positive. It's always a positive. I think we get thrown curveballs multiple times a day. So I'm trying to be a better curveball hitter, you know? And we don't want to strike out a whole lot. We've got to try to move the runners along, and we're kind of going base by base here and keeping things simple. But hopefully we make little steps all the time. I do believe that while Arizona has been in a tough situation from our cases and the COVID numbers, it does seem to be slowing a little bit. I don't want to talk like I'm an expert because I'm not, but it does feel, you know, it does seem like, okay, we've got some control. It's not spiraling upward as it was. So that's a good thing. And hopefully we can continue to see that trend of a plateau or some downward movement, however that gets measured, because those become positive moments. Hey, we got air. We can do that. Because that's important. You know, if we don't get that, this thing's going to start tilting in the wrong direction again, and we're getting close to clutch time. We really are.
Yeah, that really seems to be that. You know, we've said it a couple of times. We thought we had all this time, and you know, it's creeping closer. But look, I remain confident that there's going to be some football in the fall. I've come to grips with the fact that, you know, it may not be till spring, and you know, if that's what it has to be, then that's what it has to be. But I'm hanging on. I'm hanging on. I want to make sure that you know that if we are going to have football in the fall, we got to have the nachos in the fall, and we got to have hot dogs. So anything else I'm okay with. If you can't serve beer or whatever, but you know, got to have the nachos, got to have the hot dogs.
We just don't want him selling them to us.
Okay, well we'll work on the menu. So again, our intention is, if we're having events, we'll have those services, and we want to have some food service and make it as enjoyable as possible. I think we're all going to have to work together. If we get to that point, we can have fans in the stadiums. you know, that'll we're going to have to work together. Again, yeah. There's going to be a responsibility upon all of us that are in those stadiums and arenas to do the right things, or else it's not going to work, and we're going to have to shut them down.
Right.
And so I'm optimistic. I am bullish. We're going to do it, and we're certainly football and the scheduling thing is focused on the fall. We want this to happen in the fall. We have not entertained a spring schedule, really. That's always there. It's kind of up on the shelf. We mm-hmm. know it's there, and we can move to it. But let's exhaust every ounce of possibilities for the fall.
Dave, thanks a bunch. We really appreciate having you.
Thank you. And I want to be positive. I do.
And I am, too. I am, too.
Yeah. We're in this. We're all in it together.
We are. And we're going to get you back here again as it goes along. So, absolutely, Dave, we do appreciate it.
Be well. Be well. Be safe. Thanks.
Take care.
That was Dave Hickey.
Bear down.
Well, that was Dave Hickey from the U of A. We'll get back to you here on 10:30 on the other side.
Time to update those old kitchen cabinets? Call the Window Depot today. The Window Depot is not only the number one warehouse for windows and doors, we now have a great selection of kitchen and bath cabinets at Tucson's best prices. The Window Depot is Tucson's top spot for granite and quartz countertops to finish the new kitchen or the replacement of that old worn out Formica. So call us today at 290-8545 or 622-6430. The Window Depot, windows, doors, granite, and new kitchens.
There's a place in our house.
For 70 years, Benjamin Supply has been keeping Tucson flowing. Hygiene is our business. We help you achieve extreme clean. Minimize germ spreading with a hands-free sensor faucet. Forget the paper panic with a washlet seat. And speaking of waterworks, a big thanks to plumbers for their essential efforts during this health crisis. Shop our downtown showroom by appointment. Call us at 777-7000 or see all the products online at BenjaminSupply.com.
Thanks to Benjamin Plumbing Supply.
These days, most families are concerned with having the right insurance coverage. Protecting your family, home, auto, and other valuable possessions can be challenging and sometimes expensive. Crest Insurance gives you flexible options and solutions while saving you money. Insurance is not one size fits all, and at Crest, we find the coverage that's best for you and your family. Visit us online at www.crestins.com or call us toll free at 888-881-5765.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. It's always good to have Dave on the show.
It is. You know, and he's so, he's extremely positive, working hard to, you know, figure out ways to make this happen. And again, he's got a lot of people that he's working with at the U of A to try and make this happen. And the U of A has been one of the leaders across the board on the whole COVID thing. And, and that's a good feeling for us who are here in Tucson. Now, you know, I worry that not everybody's in that position.
True.
You know, there was a point made last week, and yes, we're singling them out. We're singling out the fraternities and the sororities for the potential problems that are out there.
Sure.
But, you know, there's just some reports coming out of there that they're just not taking this as serious as everybody else.
Yeah.
And you know, as he said, everybody's got to take responsibility or it's not going to work, you know, mm-hmm. but you know, I liked what Dave said right there at the end where he said, you know, we're going to exhaust every possibility, every option to get this in the fall before we go to the spring.
Well, you know, and I know it's financial.
Right.
This means so much to so many people on so many levels.
Right. And one of the things you're hearing a lot about is that, you know, how much of a risk do we want to take for the financial piece of this? And I get it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to risk people's lives at this, but you know, if you've got, if they're deciding this based on the science, then hopefully, you know, things fall into place and you can do this. And then, you know, maybe you do find out once they start playing, you know what, this isn't going to work, and it all kind of falls apart. But, you know, I think that as long as they make decisions based on facts and mm-hmm. science mm-hmm. and not on, you know, their hearts wanting to have football, we'll be okay.
Well, that was the one question I didn't get to ask him. And it's not so much of having a date. He said it's going to probably be mid-September at the earliest.
Right.
We kind of knew all that.
I think we figured that.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not about so much about dates, but about the numbers really decreasing.
Right.
Right. And it's going to be decreasing different places.
Right. In some places, it's not.
Right.
But, you know, and we've got to flatten this thing out. And there are signs. You know, there are signs that it's flattening a little bit. But, you know, it's... you just have no idea what it's, even in a week.
No. I was just going to say it's too early, yet it's too late.
Right.
Because it's too early to say anything definitive, but it's too late because we're running up against it.
We are up against it. And you know, we are out of time. And, okay, they're going to announce a schedule. And maybe, you know, maybe they'll take a little more time or something
sure,
like that.
Sure.
Because they've got there's still some more things that have to fall into place. But I do believe that, you know, because they've already decided we're cutting a couple of games off the schedule, they bought some time with
sure,
that.
Sure.
You know, and they may throw out a schedule and say, this is what we think today. Right. Mm-hmm, so it's just going to be a matter of, you know.
So I don't know if anybody brought this up to you, but in that schedule, because they talked to me about it, would you mind playing ASU twice in a year?
We brought that up, and I think I would mind. I'd rather see us play
one.
I say us. I'd rather see all the teams play at another team. You know, add another team that's not on the schedule. Mm-hmm. I know you go into the logistics of you know, travel and scheduling sure. and all that kind of stuff, but I just as soon say, you know, don't play
the rival
the same. Don't play the same team twice. Mm-hmm. Football is different. You can do that in basketball. You obviously do it in baseball and all the other sports. Football stands out from, you know, you don't want to have to play somebody two times. Mm-hmm. I think what you'd rather do is, you know, add somebody that you don't already have on your schedule if you're going to play 10 games.
Yeah. Thomas?
See, I say bring on the home and home, and here's why. Because even, especially in the NFL, because we don't see this in college, but let's say you have a matchup against a team, and the last time you face them, or the only time you face them, if they're in a different conference, then you go through the playoffs, and you have that matchup again in the playoffs. There's so many storylines that go into that. I would love to see him play once at the beginning of the season and then once at the end, because there'll be so much build up and hype for that game at the end of the season. I think it'd be great. I'd love to see that.
Tells you how good you were at the beginning and how good you are at the end. I don't know. I agree with you, Jay. I wouldn't want to play ASU twice if I was UVA or whatever.
It makes sense. I mean, it makes some sense in a lot of respects, yeah. The travel and the proximity and stuff like that. But I just think football is different. And I you know, yes, in the NFL, you know, you play everybody two times, but this isn't the NFL. You know, go play somebody else, you know, whoever that might be.
A lot of fun. I guess by tomorrow, you'll be all giddy tomorrow. You'll probably wear your Dodger outfit.
I'll have my Dodger hat on tomorrow. I'll be looking for my, you know, I've been...
Who's the starter? Who's starting tomorrow?
Well, Clayton Kershaw's going to start tomorrow.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, I drafted who I think is the best pitcher on the Dodgers for my fantasy team, Walker Buehler. I'm one of those guys that I pick players that I want to see.
Yeah.
And sometimes I don't pick the best player out there, but I've got a couple of Diamondbacks, a couple of Dodgers on my team. I'm
so
ready to go.
When was the last time you cashed in one of these things?
I always cash.
Well, never mind.
A little
then.
Bit. No, that's not really true. It's probably been a while, but I'm much better at fantasy football than I am at baseball, because I don't follow the players as much in baseball as I do in football.
It's hard to.
It's really hard.
Thanks a bunch. Good show today.
It was a good show. Dave Hege, we appreciate you being on again, and we'll get you back, and, you know, we're off again.
Yeah. Talk to you tomorrow.